Welcome to Anchored in the Word.
And he wants to be our friend. Think about the idea, he wants to be our best friend. He's not going to settle for anything less. Now, I know that those of you that are married, and it's great to think of your spouse as your best friend, but I'm telling you, if you really want to have the marriage that reflects Christ, he's got to be your best friend. Your spouse needs to be number two, right? But he needs to be number one. Anything less of that, and hear me on this, is idolatry. He's number one, numero uno, but think of the idea of the best friend.
When I'm anchored deep in your clean love, I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman.
Did you know that the God of the universe desires a friendship with you? If you've ever heard this before, it is absolutely biblical. Jesus made it clear to his disciples that they had become his friends as Jesus revealed the Father to them. Think of good earthly friendships. Jesus is alive and can be the best friend you've ever had if you're willing. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, as we join Pastor Bill.
Do you remember? Some of you will remember this. The courtship of Eddie's father. Am I ringing a bell for some of you old folks in here? All right. I think it was maybe the 70s or 80s, maybe early 80s, if anything. And there was a TV program that was very dear to my heart at the time. It was prime time, all right? Prime time. And it was called The Courtship of Eddie's Father. Bill Bixby was the father. Don't remember the name of the kid. If you do, don't say it out. But what it was about, a man who no longer had a wife, and it was he and his young son, very young son. There was a song that will stick in your head. Come and let me tell you about my best friend. He's my one joy, my pride and joy, whatever it was. I had it the first service, but I forgot it. Doesn't matter. You get the idea. Some of you know it. You're like, yeah, I know that song. Yeah, that's it. And it was a cute show and everything else. But I want you to think about just about that idea of the best friend idea, the best friend. And that in that case, it was a story about a father and his son being his best friend. They were best friends and the life that they had. And someone told me later, it didn't last very long, but it was a cute show, all right? But the idea was it was a cute show. And we all are, I think, are acquainted maybe with this idea. It started when we were really young, about having a best friend. You know, we're best friends. And when you had a best friend, it took friendship to another level, didn't it? I mean, there's acquaintances, which is a person that you'll know them and you'll see them from time to time. They're acquaintances. Then you've got friends. These are people that you know their names and maybe even know their birthdays, and you don't have to see each other all the time. Some of my friends are far away, but they're friends. They're dear to your heart. But then there is the idea, another level of friendship, the best friend. And you generally only had one of those. I mean, there was one best friend. You didn't really, you know, it was you and that person. And you didn't really want to share them with anybody because your best friend took a lot of your time, right? I mean, it was just generally just the two of you, not really room for three best friends. Not that I was ever aware of. It was generally just two. And you really didn't like sharing your best friend with anybody because if they shared too much, then, you know, that took out of your best friendliness kind of thing, you know? So there was this close knit where you shared your lives with one another. And it was just an awesome thing to have a best friend. So I would ask you, do you have one of those? Do you have a best friend? And if you do, then I would say to you, and don't answer out, but who is your best friend, you know, at this point in time? Who would you consider to be your best friend? Why am I saying all this? Because what we are viewing in the book of 1 John, in the simplest way we could describe it, is a man trying to tell you and tell me about his best friend. He's sharing, he wants to share his best friend with us. And that's what he's doing. He wrote this letter, and it was his best friend, and he wants to share his best friend with others. And that puts him high above me, but you'll find as we go through his best friend, there's enough of him to go around. So it's not like he can only be one best friend at a time. And that's helpful. We'll pick it up in verse 1 as we look at, this is, by the way, the Apostle John. He's the same guy that wrote the book of John. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he wrote, and also the book of Revelation, which, Lord willing, we'll get to eventually. That which was from the beginning. John's best friend was unlike any other best friend that maybe we experience in the world. Hopefully, you have the same best friend as John. And if you don't now, you will seek to make him your best friend. But John's best friend was different from any earthly best friend, you could say. That which was from the beginning. That's an important statement that John's making, and this is a parallel passage to the book of John in chapter 1. So if you just turn back to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and verse 1, same man writing, and he's writing about a person. And it's interesting the way that he introduces this person in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Couple of things. He's calling this person here the Word. And then he's saying about this person, in the beginning, when things all started, as the world was beginning, the Word already was. He already existed. And what else is he saying about the Word? He's saying that the Word was with God. And we're going to find out that he's part of the Godhead. And the Word was God. Now, he's pointing back to an event that happened at the beginning. He was God then at the beginning. He's God now. Nothing's changed about the Word. He still is who he was then. But what I want you to see is he's talking about a specific person. And as we go down to verse 14 of John 1, it tells us who the Word is, or gives us an insight. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's talking about Jesus, John's best friend. Not just was, John's best friend is Jesus. Was then when this letter was written, and is today because he's with him in his presence face to face. See, best friends are forever, aren't they? Didn't we used to say that? Best friends are forever. Well, we're talking about a best friend now. That's a truth, man. That is a theological truth, that this best friend will be forever. And so we pick it up. He says, this best friend, that which was from the beginning, not only is he eternal, he's God, he's the creator. John's best friend, the one that he's talking about now, he says, which we have heard, which we have seen, back to John 1:1, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And this is the thing about best friend, that you share lives with them. You share your life with them. And what John is saying about this one that sounds high and lofty, because he is that, by the way. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. There's never been anyone been like him. And so he is that, but he became human, and he's made himself personal to us. And John says, look, I've heard him. I've seen him with my eyes. And then he says, which we have looked upon. And that word means this, because he's already mentioned we've seen him with our eyes. But now he's talking about we've looked upon. And that word means this. It means that they checked him out under a microscope. They had the up and personal with him. They shared things with him. They saw how he operated. They knew him. They had a relationship with him. And he says, and our hands have handled. We could touch him concerning the word of life. And he calls him the word of life here. And then verse 2, he says, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. I want to stop there for a moment, because he's going to mention this idea now of eternal life. eternal life. You ever wonder, what exactly is eternal life? What exactly is it? I mean, we have an understanding of maybe what it is. Well, let's turn to John 17. I was hoping you'd ask that. John 17, Jesus is going to describe it to us. He's going to tell us exactly what eternal life is. My Bible doesn't have red letter, but yours should be, if you got a red letter Bible, this should be red letter. And in verse 3, and this is eternal life, Jesus talking. Now, when Jesus is going to tell you something, when he's going to define something for you, it's better than Webster's dictionary. This is eternal life, John 17, 3, that they may know you, talking to the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So this is eternal life, that you may know God. It's about knowing God and about knowing His Son. And He's talking about this idea of knowing. And it's more than just knowing about. A lot of people know about Jesus. A lot of people know about the Father, but they don't have eternal life. See, eternal life, it's a life that has quantity, right? We think of eternal life. Don't we think of quantity of life? In other words, a life that'll just go on and never end, right? That's a quantity of life. But more than that, and I'm glad about that, by the way, right? But there's a quality of life as well. So you've got eternal life has a quantity of life, a life that goes on, never ends, and it's got a quality of life. And what brings quality to life, to eternal life, is to know God and His Son Jesus. And he's talking about this idea of knowing, and he's using this word, it's a gnosko. It means knowing how John has just described it the best you can in English, touching, hearing, checking under a microscope, experiencing God, you see. That's what eternal life is going to be all about. Not just a quantity of life. It's a quality of life. It's a life where we can know God personally, up close and personal. And so he mentions this idea of eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. He's talking about Jesus when he says eternal life. And then he says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, he's introduced us to a couple of things here. First of all, the word fellowship, which is going to be used four times here. It's very important. This will define this letter for us. This will give us a key theme to this letter that the Apostle John's telling us. This word fellowship, it's used twice in verse 3 of chapter 1. It's used once in verse 6 of chapter 1, and then verse 7 of chapter 1. This word fellowship, and that word means, maybe you've heard this in Greek, it's koinonia. Have you heard that? Koinonia. It means communion. Communion, where we get our word community. There's a sharing. That's what that word means, a communion. Sharing, a oneness, and a sharing. And so he's going to mention this word fellowship because John basically is describing his relationship to or his fellowship with his best friend. I've got this thing going on with the God of the universe, and I really want you to be involved in it too. Because, man, this is going to revolutionize your walk. And by the way, I want to tell you something. This letter was written to Christians. Yeah, this letter was written to Christians. And you would think, well, didn't they already have that? Why do they have to write to Christians and tell them about fellowship, about having Jesus as your best friend? Not everybody does, right? Some people have different views of what Christianity is, right? You just come and you pray a prayer maybe, and it's sort of like, you know, you got a friend, he's a long distance friend. You know, some friends or acquaintances, you see him every now and then, you say hello, and then you carry on with life. You know what I mean? Until the next time you run into him. Some people think of Jesus that way. Not John. And he knew he had something, and it was important for others to have it too. By the way, I'm giving you a homework assignment, all right? Because there are four blessings. And there are more than this, but there are four. And John's specific, he says it this way. He says, these things we write to you, so on and so forth. And then he gives us the benefit or the blessing of having Jesus as your best friend or fellowshipping with Jesus. Same thing, all right? When I say fellowshipping with Jesus, I'm assuming he's your best friend. Those two things go hand in hand. But he introduces us now to this word fellowship or communion, koinonia. And John is saying this, he's a pretty unselfish guy. He's basically saying, I want to share my best friend with you. Hey man, I want you to have fellowship with us. There's room for more than just me and Jesus here. But think about it, you're talking about the great I am now, right? When he came to earth, he was subject to an earthly body, right? Just like we are. But he's the great I am now. He's ascended. He can be, can you believe this? A person that could be everybody's best friend at the same time, all the people in the world. Only he can do that. He can do that though. And he, not only can he do it, but he wants it. He wants to be our best friend. And for those of you now who are saying, wait, that's kind of irreverent, isn't it there, Pastor Bill? You're talking about, isn't that putting Jesus down on another level? Well, I can see why you would say that. Because you're thinking you're reducing, I'm not reducing Jesus to anything. I'm just telling you what he said. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. This is Jesus' desire. And by the way, John 15 is a chapter, and what's used in John 15, it's the abiding chapter. It's the chapter that talks about the vine and the branches and the connection that they have. You know, a grapevine is connected. The branch is connected to the vine. Nourishment comes through that. And as a result of that, there'll be fruit. This is the fruit chapter, and he's talking about if you're connected to Jesus. In other words, you could say if Jesus was your best friend, if you treated Jesus like your best friend and you had a relationship with him like your best friend, man, fruit would come in your life. That's chapter 15 of John. Now, I want to read something specifically from John 15, starting in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. By the way, Jesus wants you to be joyful. He wants his joy to remain in you, and he wants you to be full of joy. If you're going to be full of something, you might as well be full of joy, right? Is it, amen to that? Be full of joy. And then he says, this is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. And that's a song, by the way, it's been ringing in my head. And then he says, greater love is no man than this, that he would lay down one's life for his friends. And then he says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, it's interesting. You think, oh, yeah, I had a pushy best friend maybe at one time. This is not what this is. Now, think about this for a moment. Jesus says, because he's God too. Remember, he's not just your friend. He's also your God friend. And he knows it's best that you do what he says. He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So you see there's a relationship there. But I want you to see verse 15. Hone in, zoom in on this one. No longer do I call you servants. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be a servant. He's saying, no longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. So Jesus, not only is he the master, he didn't cease being our master, and we didn't cease being a servant. What he's saying is that there's also a relationship that he wants that's vital for you and me, and he wants to be our friend. Think about the idea, he wants to be our best friend. He's not going to settle for anything less. Now, I know that those of you that are married, and it's great to think of your spouse as your best friend, but I'm telling you, if you really want to have the marriage that reflects Christ, he's got to be your best friend. Your spouse needs to be number two, right? But he needs to be number one. Anything less of that, and hear me on this, is idolatry. He's number one, numero uno. But think of the idea of the best friend. And go back to 1 John. Because there's something here in verses 2 and 3. And sometimes some of us have a problem with this. And it's sometimes all of us, I think, have problems with this, maybe. But this idea of telling others about Jesus, right? Think about that for a moment. Some of us have, you know, some of us never do it. Some of us are afraid. Some of us, whatever the case may be. And I'm telling you that nobody had to coerce John into telling someone else about Jesus. Why is that? I mean, if we look at, and we're going to go through this letter, the first four verses today, he didn't have any problem at all telling people all about Jesus. And I want you to see verses 2. He says, the life was manifested and we have seen. verse 2, and bear witness and declare to you. Uses that term, declare to you, in verse 2. Go down to verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. There it is. I declare. You ever heard that one? I declare. We declare to you. We declare to you. There's a declaration happening here, and it's automatic. This is what I'm saying to you. In the same way that you couldn't help but talk about your best friend in the best light when you had one, the idea is, and that's the way you should treat your best friend, it's the same thing with Jesus. And to the degree that I'm in fellowship, I'm in koinonia with him, will be the degree that I would share him. It will be an automatic. I won't have to trump anything up. It'll just come out of me. I can't help but do it. That's what we're watching here. We're seeing a guy who has a relationship with Jesus, his best friend. Jesus is his best friend. And as a result of it, look what comes out. And by the way, John is called the apostle of love because you read his letters. It's all about love. You read all the way through. Man, he talks about love. We read about John in the Gospels. Where was John? As much as when we hear about the guys that were there, he was always close to Jesus. When I say close, I mean physically. He was always in close proximity to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. We know this about God because Jesus is God. Amen? That he is not a respecter of persons. That's so, come on, Peter, James, and John, come over here. You know, I like you guys better than the rest of them. Even Judas, the guy, he had him watching the money. I mean, he gave everybody a fair shake, didn't he? I mean, think about that. He didn't invite anybody in any deeper. In other words, the 3 over the 12th. It wasn't just 3 twelfths, so that's a quarter, right? Is that my math right on that? Okay, but the point is, you can have as much of him, you can be as close to him as you want to be. That's just the way that it is. Remember, there's enough of him to go around. It's like, well, I don't get too close because, you know, somebody, you know, Pastor Bill, I don't want to take anything away from his relationship with Jesus. No, don't think that way. There's enough of Jesus to go around for all of us. And here's what I would say to you. Look at back at verse 3, where he says, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us. I got my best friend, and I want him to be your best friend, so you'll be my best friend. That's what church is, you know. You understand that? We're going to learn this as we go through. You know, this is my commandment, that you love one another. How do we do that? How do people that are so different, so diverse, different backgrounds, different personalities, different everythings, and how can we not kill each other? I mean, think about it. I mean, in this day and age, because of our best friend. I mean, if Jesus is our best friend, we're going to be best of friends. That's just the way that it is. It's that simple.
You've probably heard someone say that they don't want to accept Christ because it will ruin all of their fun. There's a false notion out there that the God we serve is a cosmic killjoy who only wants to take away those things that are fun. As Christians, we know this isn't true. Walking in the truths of God's word is the only way to experience complete blessing and fulfillment in this life. In fact, the book that Pastor Bill is teaching through here on Anchored in the Word says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." To learn more about Anchored in the Word, Pastor Bill, or Calvary Chapel Coastlands, log on to anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use to study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Social media is such a big part of our lives these days. We encourage you to visit our Facebook page and become our Facebook friend. Log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to our Facebook page. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through God's Word. That's all the time we have for today. Make plans to join us again for the next edition of Anchored in the Word.